Okay, folks, we're on sheet number 12. Sheet number 12, I think, is a life changer. It's a life changer because it gives a whole different perspective on the halachic process, which people don't normally hear. One of the classic things that people say about Judaism, and sometimes even accuse Judaism of, is being over-focused on technical dry detail. Classic Christian polemic against Judaism, the classic Christian attack on Judaism, is that they've lost their way. They're so focused on the law, they're so focused on the details, on the halacha, that they're living like kind of robots and they've lost the plot, they've lost the big picture. You must have heard this before. You must have felt this before. You must have sensed this somehow, that sometimes you feel that, like, what are we doing with all these tiny little details? What does that add up to in the big picture? And Rav Kook, in particular, and others are going to address that today. And I think in terms of relationship with the whole halachic process, and we're going to talk about Nevuah, and we're going to talk about Agada, and we're going to talk about Eretz Yisrael, this is really very critical. The title is Halacha and Nevuah, Revelation through the Nevi'im. Hitgalut Derech HaNevi'im. Now, we saw last time in the Rambam, takes an extremely strong position and says that under no circumstances can the Nevi'im have an input into the halachic process. And one of the reasons he's so strong on that is because he's fighting a position that he feels disagrees with that. Now, when you learn this in most places, never hear the position of the Rambam. For years and years, whenever this issue was addressed with me, no one ever told me anything but the Rambam. Because that's the famous rule. Yes, they were Nevi'im, but they never used their Nevuah hat for Halacha. They put on their Rabbi hat, like we saw last time. Eliyahu was both Hanavi and Hatishvi. Hanavi when he wanted to be a Navi and give you life advice. Hatishvi when he wanted to be a Rabbi, etc. That's the Rambam, and never the twain shall meet. Says the Kuzari, and the Kuzari came before the Rambam, and the Rambam in many ways was writing against the Kuzari, says, no, that's not true. Look at what he says. Amar Kuzari, he quotes the king, the Kuzari, Eich yitachein zeh im loy tosif alav v'loy tigrim emunah. How does it work with Nevi'im if there's a mitzvah not to add to or detract from the Torah? Nevi'im seem to be saying all these new things, the whole book of Tanakh, the whole book of Nach, where they're saying all these other things, they're adding on to the Torah. Amar Achava, so the rabbi in the Kuzari story, you know how the Kuzari works. It's not a real account of a real conversation. It's a philosophical work clothed in a conversation between a king. There was a king of a place called Kuzari or whatever it was that converted with his country to Judaism, but the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi uses that story as a framework to discuss his philosophical ideas. So Amar Achavis, the rabbi replies and says, no, loy namar zeh el lahamon. This is an incredible chiddush. The idea of not adding on to or taking away from the Torah, that's only for the average person. So they shouldn't make things up as they go along. And they make up their own ideas. They turn their Torah into their own Torah. Okay? Like the Karaites do. Of course, the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is living with the Karaites, and they're making up their own Torah as they go along. And therefore they're told to listen to the Nevi'im, and from the Kohanim, and the Shoftim, and the judges, but not as it says, etc., etc. And when it says in the Torah, don't add on to that which I'm giving you, what does it mean? Giving you through who? So normally we say giving you through Moshe, don't add on to the mitzvah through Moshe, says the Kuzari, no. Don't add on to what? Al mashit ziviti eschem al yidei Moshe. Don't add on to what Moshe told you. The al yidei Novi mikir b'chachicha. And from what the Nevi'im tell you. Meaning, Torah is an ongoing process of revelation, says the Kuzari. There's Moshe's Torah. There's the Nevi'im's Torah. And the Nevi'im are allowed to develop and add to that Torah. But the people are not. The people have to listen to the Moshe and the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im can add ala tanaim haniskarim nevuah, as long as they follow the conditions of Nevuah. Now, the Rambam will admit as much as to say, as we saw last time, there's such a thing as a horad shah. The Navi can within the halachic process, the Navi can come up with a one-off ruling, like Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. But the Kuzari is going further than this. He's saying that the Navi is not just allowed to give a one-off thing, but they're allowed to develop and add to and understand an ongoing revelation of Torah, which is beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
So let's say the Navi is personal and he wants, and he doesn't expand on it and say a whole in-depth thing. Are the Rabbanim then allowed to take what the Navi said and then expand on it?
I mean, are they allowed to use the words of the Navi almost like words of Torah and darshan from them? That's a very interesting question, because there is everyone knows what Doraisa is. It's from the Chumash. Everyone knows what Drabonon is, which is from the rabbis. But there is a middle category called Dibrei Kabbalah. You come across that? I'm not talking about mysticism. What's Dibrei Kabbalah? Where did it come from? From where? Dibrei Kabbalah is a text. Wait, who said that? It's a technical word for things that come from Nevi'im. There are certain psukim, there are certain halachas that come in the Nevi'im. Oedish Shabbos, Kovod Shabbos, things in Megillas Esther, although Megillas Esther is not really Nevi'im, it's actually Ksuvim. It's a different question, we'll get that when we get there. There's a machloitis michal as to whether Divrei Kabbalah is like Doraisa or Drabonon. Meaning, can we do with them what we do with the Doraisas? Or do we have to treat them like the lower level Drabonon? And that's part of this tension as well. Do the Nevi'im have almost like a status of an ongoing revelation? The Rambam will say, Chas v'Shalom, absolutely not. And we saw this completely different, Aspeklari Me'ira, and Aspeklari She'ena Me'ira. The Moshe Rabbeinu saw through a completely clear lens, the Nevi'im saw through a non-clear lens, therefore you can't use it halachically. Says the Kuzari, no, lo pashut, not so straightforward. In fact, if you look in number two, Rav Kook wants to bring a proof from the Pirkei Avos. Yes, honey? What's with the Baal Tosef? The idea of adding on and taking away from the Torah seems to be breached by the Nevi'im. And he's saying that no, the Nevi'im are allowed to do this, the people are not. Number two, I mean, we look at the very controversial question another time as to whether there can even be psukim that are added on by the Nevi'im. We talked about the last eight psukim of the Torah, there's more to talk about that, but that's not for now. Pirkei Avos, we'll see this quote a million times. Moshe kibbel Torah Misinai, Masru Yeshua, Yeshua Lanz Kenim, Zkeim Nevi'im, Nevi'im Masru Lanz Knesset Gedolah. It's a Shalshelet HaMasorah. So what are the Nevi'im doing in there? So what did the Rambam say Nevi'im meant? Nevi'im as rabbis, says Rav Kooki number three, that's far-fetched, difficult, that's not right. The Doichek Huloimel, says Rav Kooki number three, it's too far-fetched to say, Shirak b'mikre haita masoret al yidei Nevi'im. It's only just by accident, it's just a fluke, just random that they happen to be Nevi'im. Or the MS Loipala Klum HaNevu'ah B'zeh, and there's really no Nevu'ah going on. It says they were Nevi'im. If the Masorah went through Nevi'im and it calls them Nevi'im, presumably it's important that they were Nevi'im. Just call them rabbis. No, they were Nevi'im. And we see examples, for example, in number four, it says Chagai, who was one of the last Nevi'im, came up from Bava. Yashav Chagai Hanavi, the Amashlosha Devarim. He said three things. And I'm not getting into exactly what the three things were. They're not important, the technical details. What does it mean he said three things? He created those three things. They're rabbinic in nature. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What does it mean when it says the Navi said three things? And similarly, number five. I'm doing these quite quickly because I want to focus on the later sources. Rabbi Yochanan says mipi ashmua amru mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. These certain things came through Chagai Zechariah and Malachi. Now again, what was their role? Were they just transmitting halacha l'moshe m'sinai? We saw that before. The Nevi'im sometimes transmit halacha l'moshe m'sinai, maybe even put that into psukim. Or were they creating? Were they making new things? So we see an interesting machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which I just want to brief you here in number six, where Tosfos has a problem. What are these Nevi'im doing? Have a look at number six for a second. Perish HaKunfa says Tosfos, on this Gemara in number five, he says like this, Kevan de Nevuahi, since this is coming from Nevuah, Kehilchasa, it is like Hilchasa.
From the
Nevuah, it's like Hilchasa. What's Hilchasa? Hilchasa is like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It's almost like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Below Taimahi, you can't ask questions on it. Meaning, we saw before, remember in the Rambam's first category, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, once you can prove a Masorah from Sinai, there's no debate. Remember that? We saw that? So he says the same is true of the Nevi'im. The Leikah L'Meikah Malah, you can't argue with it. Alidei Eza Mehem, you can't start arguing with it. And Tosfos says, whoa, what did you just do here? You just took the words of the Nevi'im and you turned them into like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Says Tosfos, the Loi Hayolo Lahaskir but Nevuah. Why is Rashi talking about Nevuah? De'ein Navi Rashai, surely a Navi is not allowed L'Chadesh Dava Me'ata to make new things. Tosfos is bothered by Rashi's comment. It sounds from Rashi that the Nevi'im are doing more than just transmitting, that they're adding. Elahaya loy loyma, what Rashi should have said, says Tosfos, is Hilchasa Gemirila. What's Gemiri? Hilchasa Gemiri? What's Gemiri? They learnt it. They learnt a halacha. Tosfos is making a subtle but important shift. He's saying, it's not that the Nevi'im made this, it's that they're just transmitting this. So what I want you to be aware of is that the Rambam Shita is very important, that there's no Nevu'ah in the halachic process. But there's another Shita. The Kuzari seems to have that Shita. Rashi looks like that Shita. The Me'iri, which I didn't bring you on the sheet, has this in the Hagdamta Pirkei Avos. There's a whole group of Rishonim that feel that Nevu'ah, yes, at a certain stage had a role. But then the role ended when Nevu'ah ended, and we need to see why Nevu'ah ended. I've brought you now Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Who was Rav Tzadok HaKohen? Rav Tzadok HaKohen is a fascinating figure. He was a major Hasidic thinker in the 1800s. He died in 1900. He used to be a Litvak. He was a Misnagid. He was against the Hasidim. There's a very famous... He went to a Shalasudas of the Ishbitzer Rebbe. He went to see what all this fuss is all about with all the Hasidim. And he was very skeptical, and he stood at the back door in Shalasudas. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the Shalasudas, he starts screaming out, the Ishbosheth's got into my head. He has this kind of almost feeling that someone's kind of communicating with him mentally. And he becomes a major Chosid. And he becomes a major Hasidic thinker. And he wrote profusely. We have so many books by Rav Tzadok, and still most of his work was lost in the Holocaust. So we have a very interesting combination of a Hasidic thinker with a Misnagdic background, which makes for an interesting sort of intellectual mix. Look at what he says, number 7. He's about to say a comment which sounds almost like heretical at the beginning. The beginning of the oral law was in the second temple, the men of the great assembly, who founded the temple. Now, what's wrong with that statement? The beginning of the oral law was at the second temple when the rabbis founded the temple. Yeah, what happened to Har Sinai? Like, what is this, rabbinic Judaism? That basically Judaism was created by the rabbis? That sounds like the other guys to me, okay? So what's he talking about? Hey, miyastu gam kein ha-Torah. These are the people that established the Torah, Shebal Peh, the oral law. K'moshe am Rabbi Yushami, he brings Yushami in Shkolim. Kol zman sheloi kiblu amritzonam. And we'll see this next time in detail. That until the second temple, the Jewish people haven't really accepted the Torah properly. They didn't really have the Torah the way we have the Torah. Loi nimsara, what's the word nimsara mean? From the sora. They hadn't really had it handed onto them, a die-in, legamri, properly. They hadn't really got a proper Kabbalah of Torah. So what did they do up until the second temple? Of course they had halacha. They had chumash. They had halacha, the Moshe Sinai. They had all the things that they had up until then. But b'hayu mitnagim al pi nevi'im. Meaning what?
They relied on
nevi'im. Hakol b'ksav mi'ad Hashem. It looked like that was coming directly from God. Meaning, not like the Rambam, who said that people never went to a Navi with a Shaila. Says Rav Tzadok, of course they did. People all the time, the halakhic process during the first temple, of course it was based on mitzvahs, and of course there was Sinai, and of course there was Torah, and of course there was an oral law. But that oral law didn't look like today's oral law. If you want to find a halakhic system that looks like today's halakhic system, Hilchos Brochus and Shabbos and Kashrus and Muksar and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and principles and Av Malachas and stuff. That's all Second Temple onwards. Okay, that's very old. That's already 2,500 years ago. It's not like someone made it up in 1936. But it's not from Sinai. It is from Sinai, but it's not the same as it looked in the First Temple. We had a whole sheet, what did Torah look like in the First Temple? Why in Tanakh were people doing some mitzvahs that seem to go with halacha, some that don't seem to go with halacha? Look at what Rav Tzadok says here in number 8 and 9. Yes. All the halakhic questions, I don't know, but they had an input, he says.
But how do you go from no halakhic questions
These are two extreme positions. These are two extreme positions understanding what does it mean in Pirkei Avos when it says the Nevi'im were part of the chain of tradition. So the Rambam, it doesn't, because of Loi B'Shamayim, he doesn't mean that they were really inputting, it means that they were just, you know, like Rabbi Nevi'im. Says Rav Tzadok. They could be rabbi. They were both Nevi'im and rabbis. Meaning Yeshaya HaNavi was also a Gadol Hador in Torah.
So when he was asked the Shaila, he just didn't get
Nevi'im. Yeah, he went offline.
Yeah.
You know, he can turn on and off. He goes offline and he looks in his Sfarim and he answers just like you and I do. The Rambam said explicitly that. The Rambam said that Pinchas and Yoshua, we saw this quote, Pinchas and Yoshua, who were great Nevi'im, when they worked in Halacha, they did exactly the same thing as Rav Ashi and Ravina, who were living in the time of the Gemara, who had no Nevuah. And the Rav Tzadik is saying, no, absolutely not. Pinchas and Yeshua did something really very fundamentally different to Rav Ashi and Ravina. It was halachic, but it was prophetic halachic.
But this is implying that there was like
no halachic. No, you don't have to throw the baby. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know that expression? It's an English expression. You know, when you're chucking the bathwater out, don't leave the baby in and throw it out as well. Meaning, you don't have to throw everything out. He's not saying there was no halachic system. There were Torahs, Torah Misinai, there was mitzvahs, Tariag mitzvahs. Okay, but the Navi was part of the principle of understanding what the mitzvahs mean. But they had mitzvahs, not they had nothing. They had a certain halacha l'moshe Misinai, that's fundamental. But they didn't have the halachic systems that we have today. They had a more flexible, loose system. Michal. Yeah, they had the Sanhedrin still. So what role did the Sanhedrin...
If you had a small shrine, you would go to your local rabbi, and then if he can answer it, then they'd go to the...
So that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the Sanhedrin always worked the way it always worked, which is you went up the chain, up to the Sanhedrin, and they answered all the big questions.
And then but if eventually they can answer, they'd go...
They took a vote. They took a vote. Well, no, he doesn't say anything about a Navi.
So when would the Navi... If you had the...
So let's see when we get to Rav Kook. We'll see when we get to Rav Kook. But Rav Kook is going to answer that question. He said there are two systems working side by side, but we need to get to him. Okay, yes.
Does Rav Zadok HaGaon imply that one system is inferior or superior?
We'll see that next time. He said at the beginning we have to have the first system, and then we have to go to the second system. And he clearly says that the system we have today is superior. We'll see Rav Kook at the end. Chacham Avit Minavi. We have a better system now, but that we're still missing something by not having the Nevuah, which we'll talk about at the end. Okay, but let's go on. Look at number 8 and 9. Look, someone else can read this. It's in English. Why do I have to do all the reading? So who can volunteer? Thank you. Rachel, please read number 8 very loudly so it comes out nicely on the tape. Okay, fine. Please. Nice and loud. Number 8.
Okay. All the days of the prophets, there was no need to obey the sages.
Which is a very radical thing to say, okay? When there were prophets, you didn't have to go to Dafka the Chachamim. Carry on.
It seems likely that, even though it is true that there is no place for prophecy as far as the study and knowledge of Torah, as is written, the Torah is not in heaven, etc.
In other words, he agrees with Loiba Shamayim. He agrees you can't go just to the Navi and make it up from the Navi. That's true. Carry on.
This rule applies to knowledge of the laws of the Torah and its general rules, but there is ample room for knowledge acquired by means of prophecy as far as the details of their performance at any particular time.
Oh, so it's in the detail. All that detail that came later in the halachic system. Tilchus Muksa, I know I keep getting at Muksa, but it's just a good example, okay? I'm not going to get into Tilchus Muksa, I like Tilchus Muksa. But all that detail, where did all that detail come from before? What brocha did you make on an apple in the time of the first temple? What brocha did you make? I mean, you could make your own brocha, right? There was no fixed brocha breaker in her age. So how do you know Joy might want to make a certain brocha? She should go to her next door neighbor who's a Navi and say, you know something? I really connect with apples. Apple, like, you know something? I look at an apple, I feel God, I feel like nature, I feel, I want to hug an apple tree. What bracha do you feel I should say on an apple? So, I don't know if this is how it happened, guys. I really don't know. But it sounds from what Rav Tzadok is saying, is the Navi would say, look, you know, Joy, let's think about you, let's think about God, let's think about the apple, maybe these words work for you. Later, when Nevuah finished, the Chachamim came along and said, you know something, there's a bracha on an apple, it's Brei Priyei, Zo, finished. If you feel like making some nice bracha, okay, so pray in English, whatever, don't make your own brachas. But at this stage, there was still that detailed flexibility. Carry on.
As Maimonides describes at length in his introduction to the commentary in the Mishnah, as a temporary expedient, the prophet has the power to suspend commandments.
So he's referring to the Rambam, although he's going much further than the Rambam. The Rambam says the prophet can come in with a one-off, but he seems to be saying that the details are on an ongoing basis over to the Nevi'im. Carry on number 9. Read again, Rachel, please. No one knows who you are, it's fine. There's a thousand Rachels in the world. Okay, carry on.
It goes without saying that in doubtful instances, they, the people on the stage, were required to obey the prophet, and many prophets arose in Israel to command action in their situation.
So you had a Shiloh, you go to a Navi. And how many Nevi'im were there? Millions, loads of them. We saw last time, like as many as came out of Egypt. More, double. Carry on.
Therefore, the general leadership of these generations was in the hands of the prophets, who for the leaders of these generations as far as the affairs of each generation were concerned.
So I think it's fairly clear.
The grammar here is so confusing.
I know, it's a translation. Basically, it means, it's very simple. He's saying the Nevi'im had a role in Halacha. It's as simple as that. That's basically what it says. Except it says it more clearly, or less clearly, depending on how you look at it. This is a translation of the Rav Tzadok. Yes?
I thought that at the time of the Amistash, don't we learn that the Kohanim...
That's Rav Kook right now, coming up, Rav Kook right now.
They were on two-week circuits.
How does a Kohen work? What's a Kohen do? Is a Kohen more Chochma or more Nevuah? Is it? We'll see. Rav Kook is going to say in a few minutes he thinks the Kohen is much more Nevuah. We'll see right now. Look, let's go to Rav Kook. Girls, when you learn Rav Kook, I'm not an expert on Rav Kook. There are many people in this country who are brilliant experts on Rav Kook. There is so much, you can go through your whole life in Chutz La'aretz and never really connect with Rav Kook. You get to Eretz Yisrael, it's a whole different world. Okay? Rav Kook sees, in terms of the 20th century, as a philosophical, machshava, hashkofa thinker, Rav Kook is a whole new world. And girls, it's poetry as well as, it's not poetry in the sense that it's vague. But the way he writes is poetic. The way he thinks is poetic. He's also very incisive. Also a very big halacha person. You read his tshuvas, and there's a massive gadol hador in halacha. No question about it. But when you're starting to read Rav Kook, you have to start thinking a little bit more lyrically. You know what I mean? Do you guys learn poetry at school?
Yes.
Do you write poetry ever?
Yes.
People of your age should be writing poetry. Don't you feel a bit romantic sometimes like that, poetry? I don't mean romantic in a relationship sense. I mean in a kind of expansive sense. No? Okay. But that's a good thing, no? That part of your personality should not be subdued. Naturally, it gets subdued because life just gets complicated and you end up getting on with it. But Rav Kook has to bring that out of you a little bit. So we've got two big pieces of Rav Kook. One in number 11 is fairly straightforward and not that poetic, but the one in number 15 is very beautiful, and we'll see that. Look at number 10 first. Quick line. Says the Rav Kook, in case you had any doubt, Shita HaKuzari, the view of the Kuzari is SheHaNevuah V'Ruach HaKodesh Messiah LaHora'ah. The Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, which is a lower level Nevuah we'll talk about, assist in Psak.
Wait, is that more? Who's
that? Yeah, number 10. Rav Kook says, I repeat again, Shita, number 10, Shita HaKuzari, the view of the Kuzari is SheHaNevuah V'Ruach HaKodesh Messiah LaHora'ah. They contribute to Psak HaLacha. Deloi K'divrei HaRambam, not like the Rambam, SheMechal Kam, that divides them. You couldn't have a clearer sentence than that. Okay? There are two shitas, the Rambam and the Kuzari, and these are not the only people who hold. So now look at what he does with number 11. In number 11, he's going to create a whole system of thought linking Nevuah, Eretz Yisrael, Kohanim, Hashkofa, Agarata, on the one hand, with Halacha, Bavel, the judges, detail on the other hand. And this will change the way you look at Jewish life generally. Look at number 11. Hold with me and we'll see if we can get through this. My apologies if I mistranslate anything slightly because I'm not the biggest expert on Rav Kook, but let's do what we can. Let's look at the difference between Agadata. What do I mean by Agadata? Stories. What is the purpose of stories? To teach you lessons. Midrashim. Why did Chazal insist in the Gemara that they include not just Halacha but also Agadata? It's obviously very important. So they can relate, so they can. The Rav Kook's going to say they can get a bigger picture. You can't. What we do today in yeshiva, I know why we do it, but it's really not right. Is that we learn through the halachic bits of the Gemara, and when we hit three pages of a Gadata, we say to the guys, "Okay, we'll skip this and we'll go on to the next halachic bit." So what everybody's getting is all the halachic stuff, but they're not getting the agadic stuff, which is the stuff that gives context and big picture, and therefore you end up everyone is learning Judaism through a microscope and not through a telescope. That's Rabbi Sachs's line. And I think it's a nice line. The Judaism has to be learned both through a microscope and through a telescope. And if you're only learning one, then you're not getting the full picture. Both of these approaches branch out from the Torah. Hema chochma v'hanuva, and they are chochma and nevuah. So the first thing you have to understand is, Rav Kook is making an equation between, on the one hand, chochma and halacha, chochma, wisdom and halacha is one, and nevuah and agadata, and midrashim and agadata, and nevuah is the other. So there's chochma. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to draw this on the board. Okay. So you have two kind of hemispheres of your brain. Okay, right brain, left brain. And he's not obviously talking about it like that, but it's the same idea. So on the one hand, you have chochma. I need a better pen than this. You have chochma. Chochma, and you have halacha, which is the intellectual. And then you have, he says, on this side, you have nevuah, and you have agadah. Okay? This is Rav Kook's system that he's developing. Now, let's go on. Because the whole principle of Lobo Shamayim, it's much more complicated than people think. It's not just that, you know, nothing comes from heaven anymore, it's all human oriented. It's not that. Even though the Rambam, yes, he says, I know, the Rambam very clearly says that Nevuah has no place in Halacha. Because other people don't agree with that necessarily. And there are exceptions to the rule. He says, and I want to say to you, says the Rav Kook, that Nevuah, just like Rav Tzadok HaKohen, I want to say to you that Nevuah did have an effect on the halachic process. The Hachi Mashmi Pashtas Amishma Da Avos, and he says that's what it says in Avos, and we looked at this before, when it says that the Masorah came through the Nevi'im, and he quotes again, and he says it's too far-fetched to say that the Nevi'im weren't really acting as Nevi'im. Let's go to the next little bit. So he says, now, next paragraph. Al-Kain, therefore, Be'eretz Yisrael, and now he introduces Israel, Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, Shehi Mokam HaMenevuah. Now you know full well, girls, that Nevuah doesn't happen in Chutz La'aretz. Why can't Nevuah happen in Chutz La'aretz? Because of what? What? Remember what Nevuah is? Certainly the way we described it before. It's this outflow, and you're sitting down here, okay? You know, trying to pick it up. And you're tapping into the system. This downflow, this ability to tap into the system, is only in Eretz Yisrael, because things are coming out. Moshe's an interesting example. Moshe's Nevuah was a different Nevuah to every other Nevuah, first of all. First of all, that's not so straightforward. Yeshua gets, God speaks to Yeshua when they're in Eretz Yisrael.
No, he's telling you how to conquer the land.
Yeah, but they're going into Eretz Yisrael. They're in Eretz Yisrael already. Yes, they are. They're in Eva Hayarden. Okay, fine. We can have an argument as to what the volume of Eretz Yisrael is. Everyone agrees that there's no Nevuah in Monsi. We can argue about Eva Hayarden. Okay? Abraham had Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lech has no Nevuah. It doesn't say, God said to Avram Avinu, Abraham, you know, whatever. If you look in the Mephoshim there, it says that Abraham picked up, like, he already started moving with Haran, with Terach, his father. They picked up this almost like a Ruach HaKodesh, a lower level. They wanted to move out. Sfas Emes says that God was telling everybody in the world, come to Lech Lecha, and Abraham was the only one who picked up on it. Later, when he gets into Eretz Yisrael, it says God appeared to him, and there's a full-blown Nevuah. Of course, there's something out there in Chutz La'aretz. Moshe got Nevuah. But Moshe's Nevuah was a completely different kind of Nevuah. It was an intellectual Nevuah. We saw that in the Rambam. It was a totally different Nevuah. But we see with the other Nevi'im, Yechezkel got Nevuah first in Eretz Yisrael and then took it out. But in Eretz Yisrael. Avram did not get Nevuah. Yech Lecha is not Nevuah. It says later when he gets into Israel, then it says God appeared to him. It's Lav Dafke Nevuah. Nevuah, there are degrees. In Eretz Yisrael. No, in Eretz Yisrael, God speaks to him before he leaves Eretz Yisrael, before he goes offline. Let's just carry on with Rav Kook for now. Yes. Daniel is very interesting. Daniel, the book of Daniel is not included in Nevi'im. It's in Ksuvim. That doesn't mean that Daniel was not a Navi, But exactly, and was he always in Babel? Did he come from Eretz Israel? There's a principle, if you start in Eretz Israel, the Nebuah can spill over into Chutz La'aretz. But in principle, the Rav Kook, Yonah was in Eretz Israel.
Then he
left Eretz Israel, he spills over. He goes to Nineveh, and the Nebuah goes with him. He's in Eretz Israel. He's in Eretz Israel. He's in Yafo.
Does Yosef's dream interpretation count as the Nebuah?
That's an interesting question, but anyway, they were in Eretz Israel. That was for sure in Eretz Israel.
He also in Paran.
Paro's dream. Paro's dream is not Nebuah in the same way. We're talking about real. Let's look at what he says here. Interpretation is a different thing. Let's look at what he says here. Eretz Yisrael. Shehi makom hanavuah. Yesh roishem leshefa hanavuah b'seder halimud. In Eretz Yisrael, there can be an impact on your learning through Nebuah. V'havanahi. And what does that mean? Musaverid mitoy hashkafa pnimit. There is an inner hashkafa, there's an inner, like, awareness in Eretz Yisrael. The inner tzarek kol kach arichas birumim, that doesn't need so much detail in that way. The hainu, that's what it means, avir de Eretz Yisrael machim. You ever heard this idea? Avir de Eretz Yisrael machim, the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. Meaning, it's not just the limudim of the technicalities, it's the whole experience, says Rav Kook, of Eretz Yisrael, which lends itself more to this bigger picture, kind of awareness. The Talmud of Bavla, but the Talmud of Babel, who matrid lehu, that is a different kind, that interferes with this a little bit. The Chochmah HaNavuah, shehi yisoy lechochmah ta'agada, it interferes with the Chochmah of Navuah, which is Agada, okay, she had sada pnimi, shel shor shei Torah, which is the inner, like the more inner light of the roots of the Torah. Those people who were influenced by the Chochmah of Nebuah, Hakitzuhu Mala Etzlam, okay, so they were more brief. They went to less length because they saw things in more kind of.
Can you just repeat the whole Babel
thing? So he's going to get more into it now. He's going to say Babel, let's add these here. Eretz Yisrael goes on this side of the list. Eretz Yisrael, and Babel goes on this. He's going to say that Babel is a different kind of learning. It's a different kind of chokhmah. It's chutz la'aretz. It's not so much big picture. It's more small details. Okay. It's a different kind of learning. He's going to describe it right now. Eretz Yisrael is more bekitzur. Babel is more is longer, more arichas. Eretz Yisrael is more bekitzur.
Let's just. Why is Eretz Yisrael more?
Because he's going to read on. Let's see now. The hanituach. The fine detail, nituach is literally an operation, shel halachas, of halachas, v'hoitzaz davar mitoch davar, of learning analytically one thing from another.
That's Babel.
Okay? But when it came to Eretz Yisrael, na'atzeh etzlam b'skira rach b'ma'od, it's more broad brush in Eretz Yisrael. It's less detail, it's less a length. When you read the Yerushalmi, he says, v'day lahem remez kal lahachlit mishpat, there's less detail in the Yerushalmi. Why? Not because the Yerushalmi, he says, is less well edited. Because the Yerushalmi is Eretz Yisrael Torah, and therefore the way they look at Torah is a bit different. So now you can add on this side. Here, this side is the Talmud Yerushalmi. And on this side is the Talmud Babli.
Is that why we use Talmud Babli?
Oh, because, yeah, we're in Golas. It's a Golas Torah that we have now. And he's going to say at the end, as we get towards the return to Eretz Yisrael, maybe we'll return to a Yerushalmi type Torah. Let's see what he says. Carry on. The people in Yerushalayim, well, they weren't in Yerushalayim, they were in Eretz Yisrael, because the Talmud Yerushalayim was written in Tveria. And in the north in Sipori, but they were influenced by Eretz Yisrael. V'day dikdukim kitzar libiru halacha, therefore they could use smaller and less detailed dikdukim in order to learn halacha. Aval legabe bnei Bavel. But when it came to the people in Bavel, shisharshi hanavuah lo hishpiru alein kakach, they weren't so influenced by Navua. Loi haya maspik hakitz, they couldn't do anything in shorthand. Everything has to be long. V'haya tzarech arichas tvarim. That's why the Talmud Bavli is like this, and the Talmud Yerushalmi is like this. Why? Why is the Talmud Bavli so enormous? He says because it's a different kind of learning. V'achiluk hu poshit. Next paragraph. It's obvious. Just shut the door if you don't mind, Nadiva, please. The When you learn in Torah more based on Nevuah, halachas im agadah, when you're learning halacha with agada, with midrashim, you're learning it together, hamid achdut al yado, which becomes one unity, not skipping the agada test, but learning all the philosophy and the hashkof, etc. V'yesh inyani kabbalah masaris b'das, b'deis, k'moy b'masim, and when you're not just developing your actions, and Judaism is not just one of practical halachic actions, but deis, what did deis mean? Your mind is growing in proportion to your actions as well. Zoyti data Yerushalmi shalayka das chuslaris. Okay? This is not the same as chuslaris. Aval b'seyde limud sheba chuslaris, when it comes to chuslaris, golas Torah, this is very Rav Kook, Torah in America, Torah in England, Torah in South Africa, she'ein ru'uyu le'nevuah, which just doesn't get the nevuah, mimela ein anfi ruach ha'kodesh mitlakdim im ha'alochan v'nitzuka. The Ruach HaKodesh just gets chopped off. It's a different kind of Torah. V'hadeyas heinim rak ma she'eshel ha'hoitzi mitoi chaseich al ha'gyoni. And where do you get hashkofa from? Intellect.
So you say that different
Torah,
you get a different...
Different Torah. Rav Kook.
Does that, according to Rav Kook, you get a different...
Different kind of Torah. The minute you get off the boat in Eretz Yisrael, you have a different mind. You have a different influence. There's something going on here. And by the way, Rav Kook was not the only one who felt this. The Chazon Ish, when he said, when he was struggled with issues for years in Russia, when he lived in Eastern Europe, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, he felt that something is like, something's different. You know, look, the minute you take your electrical appliances out of America where it's 110 volts and you plug them in Israel, it's 220. You've automatically doubled the voltage before you even start. If that's true of the electricity, then I assume it's true of the Ruchnias. Truth is, the analogy is not good because England's 240. But don't worry about that, okay? The point here is, this is not just an airy-fairy idea. Rav Kook is building on this concept a whole theology. A whole, you know, philosophy, a hashkofa of what it means that Nevuah is part of the halachic process and Eretz Yisrael is part of that. Yes, Michal?
I'm really confused. Why is it saying that, is it saying Eretz Yisrael needs the less detailed...
Yes, bigger picture.
Because they just had, they just tapped into something that wasn't, that's not there, that's not happening. Or because they had the Nevi'im there...
Because they had the Nevi'im and what we have now is not Nevuah. In other words, Rav Kook is not living in a dream world. He knows full well that the halachic system still is the halachic system in Eretz Yisrael, just like it is in Brooklyn. But he's saying that there's still a spillover in Eretz Yisrael of a different way of looking at things, a different picture. I would add that a lot of Rav Kook's own hashkafic thinking was done in Chutz Laaretz. He was in Russia. He was during the First World War. He got stuck in Europe. He was in London. Okay? For many years he lived in London, Rav Kook. He was stuck there during the First World War. He was in Switzerland, etc. So Rav Kook produced a lot in Chutz Laaretz, but Eretz Yisrael for him was a whole different ballgame. Look at the last paragraph, which is the question that Hannah was asking before. Well, if Fiani is Daiti, Zeu Achiluk Shebein Kohen LeShofet. This is the difference between a Kohen and a Shofet. Now, you see, who mentioned the Sanhedrin? It says in the Psukim about the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin had to contain Kohanim and Shoftim. Well, who needs Kohanim? Why do I need a priest? Why do I need Cohen on the Sanhedrin? He says, "Hamuski b'Torah le'inyan kabbalah mibeis." Okay, shehakavana. What does this mean? Bein derech limud sheruach hakodesh gam kein messiah es bira halacha. There's certain kinds of learning, the Cohen learning, where ruach hakodesh influenced it. The hainu Cohen, that's the Cohen, and he quotes the pasuk, "Svasav yishmeru dat ki malach Hashem hu." He's a malach. The Cohen is like a malach. Ubeprat Kohen the Shofet, as opposed to a Shofet. What's a Shofet? He's a lawyer. Lawyers don't work on Ruach HaKodesh. Believe me. I was one, and I worked with them. Okay? Dehaina Shemotim Mishpat Al Pi HaSvara. They work on intellect. V'derech Halimu Mavere Mitoch Pilpul. I'm Pilpul. What's Pilpul? What's Pilpul? Pilpul is what you're doing when you're learning most of the time. So here, what have we got here? Chochma, Halacha, Bavel, Talmud, Bavli, Shofet, okay, Pilpul. On this side, Nevuah, Agadata, Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Yerushalmi, Kohen, okay, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh, etc. So what we've got here is an incredible, like, it's like left brain, Mamash is like left brain, right brain. Which is the right brain? The intellect? The right brain is the intellectual one?
I don't know. I can just feel
Like, yeah.
Left is the intellect, right?
Okay, so you have to swap it round to swap it round. What's that?
I'm having a little bit of a kasha with it.
Okay, go on.
As someone who like probably connects to the more naggy side
of right.
You could still be misnaggy and astrology.
100%. 100%. And Rav Kook was. Well, Rav Kook was a mixture. But you, of course you can. And Rav Kook is not coming on in some kind of halakhic reforming agenda, saying that these days we need to be, you know, looking at the big picture only. But he is saying that the Torah of Galus is an incomplete Torah. And the Torah of Babel is an incomplete Torah. And the Torah of Hilchus tiny details is an incomplete picture. And in order to get the full picture, you need to add to that. Okay, you said that. He didn't say that. But maybe you could put Chassid Misnagid on this picture as well. But he said, unless you at least recognize, the problem is that most of the people you speak to in Chutz La'aretz, they don't even recognize this side of the board. This has got nothing to do with halacha. Maybe it's like, you know, big ideas. Says Rav Kook, no, on the contrary. And in the last piece, which I'm not going to read you all of the words in number 15, but this is where he gets really poetic. Where he says, Chacham Adit Minavi. He's saying, actually, what we needed when the Second Temple started was we needed to get rid of this. This has a downside. And we're going to talk about that right now. This has a downside, which is it doesn't work practically. People who go around hugging trees and looking at the big picture, it's very nice and all that, but it doesn't actually help you get on with the tiny details of life. You need that for this. You need both. And he's going to talk about different periods of history. Let me just read Michal number 15, and then we'll finish, and you can ask some questions at the end. Flip to number 15 for a second, please. So now you've got this system in your mind. Let's look at Chacham Adif Minavi. Because there's a statement in the Gemara that says, actually, there's a Chacham is better than a Navi. And next time, we're going to look historically at what happened. Why did Nevuah end? This is a fascinating question. It's such a big part of Judaism. And yet it came to an end. More or less. Maybe there's a little bit less in Eretz Yisrael, whatever, Ruach HaKodesh. What triggered the end of Nevuah? Why did we have to move on to a system of halachic systems and chochmah and pilpul, etc.? Look at number 15. Let's read a few paragraphs from this, and we'll finish with that. Focus now, and this is where I want you to get very poetic. Start those poetic feelings inside you. Okay? Go away and read Lehavdil some Shakespeare between now and next lesson, and get some, you know, whatever. Okay, you don't have to. Number 50. B'nai sheba oilam, in the ways of the world, says the Rav Kook. This is a very famous piece, by the way. Chacham Adif Minavi, it's one of his classics. Hamashayrim, what's Mashayrim? Poets. Melitzim, writers, lyricists. Matarim Yafa, they describe very well as Hadrat HaChaim. What's Hadrat? What's Hadar? The beauty of life. Bichlal. This word klal is a very big word. Klal means? In general terms. Es kol panotehem, all the aspects of life. Hayafot. Biyuchud, hachlelot in a universal way, zerem rav in a great flow, v'tal chaim rubber. What's tal chaim? What's tal? What's chaim? What's tal chaim? So what's the Jew of life? I don't know. What do you think? If I asked you, Adina, what is the Jew of life? What would you say that meant? It's some kind of, like, do. What does that mean? That's kind of, a nourishing, you know, renewing. Hey, yoidim gam lahatzik laharot et hakiur, and they can also describe these poets. They can also describe ugliness, haklalni, in a general sense. Shelakel kilkulim shebachaim, of all the things that go wrong in life. But limchot negdam bechotof, and they can object to them. Aval lachdol etoch tocham, but to get into the kishkas, you know what kishkas are. To get into the nitty gritty, shall kol agormim apratim, of all the tiny little details, because at the end of the day, guys, life is not made up of big picture issues only. The tiny little details. Do I buy this? Do I buy 3% yogurt or 5% yogurt, or maybe even cottage cheese rather, or 1% cottage cheese? How do you decide that? How do you decide whether to buy these diapers or those diapers? To buy environmentally friendly ones or fair trade chocolate or not fair trade chocolate? How do you decide? How do you make these decisions? How do you decide whether to eat an apple or a pear or a piece of chocolate? Like, how are you going to do that? Eich machshirim et ha-chaim. How to improve your life practically. I'm on the third line. U'ma'amidim otam ala basis ha-tochen, to put it on a firm basis. Ve'eich meshamrim otam b'chlol, and how to guard yourself mikol kalkala, from all the negativity. Gam be'katanash be'katanut. Bad things in life start with very small decisions. How to guard against them? Shisofa lahalot tzirtan gadol, that these tiny little things could turn into a massive big block. Laharot harbe ma'odim, can destroy lots. The poet can't deal with that. The poet doesn't know how to help you to stop speak Lashon Hara. The poet can talk to you about the evils of Lashon Hara, about the evils of negativity, about slavery, about oppression of the poor. He can talk to you about that, but with halacha lemaisa, should I give to this stucker or that stucker? That's not the poet's job. Ki im ha-chokhmah ha-mefekes. The only thing that can deal with this chokhmah. Because you need a rod. You need a shofet. You need someone who is an intellect to try and analyze the tiny little decisions in life. That's where we get into doctors. Doctors aren't big picture people. They look at the tiny little hormonal differences in your body and they give you this tiny medication over that one. Hamodidim, scientists, shoftim, lawyers, technology. He says life has to be governed by people who are into detail. If you're not into detail, it all falls apart. Hannah?
Is that why Chassidim don't need a Rebbe?
Yes. They definitely need a Rebbe. And they also need a Shulchan Aruch. Chassidim can't just walk around looking at the sky saying, God, make me high, make me high, make me high. You know? That's like, Lord, you know, that doesn't work that way. You have to also, if you want to be a chassid, you have to do that. I'm not saying chassidim do that, of course not. I'm exaggerating. But I'm saying chassidim for sure need a shulchan aruch, and they have a shulchan aruch. And some of the greatest...
The Rebbe.
But the Rebbe is not the shulchan aruch. The Rebbe is more the inspirational. The Rebbe is not always the poisek even. Okay, they're also for the detail. Okay, you can say it's the Rebbe if you want. Look at the second paragraph. Hanavua rata in zerim hakalkala. Look at Navua. Look at the prophets. Yeshaya, Yechizkiyahu, Yirmiyahu. They saw very clearly all the bad stuff. Hagidola shel avodah zorah b'Yisrael. All the avodah zorah. Umachta negli b'chol az. And they objected. Look at them screaming every page of the Navi. If this is terrible, that's terrible, this has to change. Et hadrat ne'um Hashem. They also know the beauty of God. And they describe all the beauties of Mashiach. It's so beautiful. Et hashchata, and the negativity shel aparut, hamusarit, of ethical degradation, ritzut dalim, of oppression of the poor, oshek evyonim, of the oppressed, retzach, murder, niuf, adultery and immorality, chamas, violence, shoyd, robbery, v'tamim ruach elokim lo ashia, etc. In other words, the Nevi'im got this, absolutely they understood this, but let me ask you a question, did it work? Did the people improve? Did they listen? Did the Nevuah actually change society?
No.
No, it didn't work. And in the rest of the Rav Kook, he basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing, he goes on to say that at a certain point in history, they realized that they needed to change from system one to system two. Okay? From big picture to small picture. Because at the end of the day, it's the small detail that actually make the big difference. You know, there's an expression, there's a non-Jewish expression, the devil's in the details. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very Christian idea. The idea that actually the Jews are to blame for having got being bogged down by the details. The Jews are into it in whether, you know, you make this bracha or that bracha or this, and they've lost the plot, they've lost the big picture, and therefore the equation is the detail, i.e. the Jewish Torah system with the devil. That's a very Christian idea. As far as we're concerned, we don't say that. The devil is not in the detail. The reality of life is in the detail. If you go to the NASA space program and tell them, ugh, why are you getting so detailed about everything? Why do you just make everything so complicated? Just fly to the moon. They'll say to you, like, you know, just call security, get out of here. Like, what do you know about cosmology? You don't know, everything's in detail. You go to a biologist and say, well, look, it's a leaf. It's just a leaf. You know, just can't you appreciate that it's a leaf? No, okay, but look, you know, I've just done three PhDs on the construction of a leaf. You know how detailed a leaf is? You could study a leaf for 1,000 years and never got to the bottom of a leaf. Everything is detailed. The world is detailed. You put a micro, electro, whatever it is, microscope on this gender, it doesn't look like this anymore. It's got millions of tiny contours and animals crawling all over it and bacteria. The world is full of detail. Says Rav Kook, at a certain point, they had to move to the detail system. It's essential. Because when the Chachamim came along, the second base of Mikdash, they started structure. There's Halacha, there's Dereises, there's Derabbonons, there's Hilchos Shabbos, there's Hilchos, Kashrus, and there's everything needs structure. And therefore, we move from a less structured to a structured, and that's what we needed. And then when we approved, and you know something? Half the problems of the first base of Mikdash went away when we got into the details. But then what came in? Sinas Chinam, over-focus on the details. The idea, just one second, the idea, the story that you see at the end of the second base of Mikdash, when they swung so far the other way, you know the story of the two Kohanim running up the ramp, and they used to try and rape to see who got to the top, and one of them saw the other one was winning, and he was going to get to do the Avodah, took out a knife, stabbed the other guy. It's a story of Maaseh, it's not a Midrash, he stabbed the other guy, the guy's there, like bleeding to death on the floor. The father of the victim runs up to his son who is dying on the floor, and he pulls out the knife and he says, Baruch Hashem, we managed to get the knife out before he dies, so the knife's not tameh. Says the Gemara, see how twisted people became by the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, that they so focused on the details that they were more interested in Tumah and Tara than the unbelievable moral breakdown that people can murder each other in the Beis HaMikdash and not even realize that that's wrong. And therefore, says Rav Kook, that if he swung the other way as well. And therefore, he says, we need a system of detail, and we have to strike that balance. Look at the last paragraph. Look at the last paragraph, and then we'll finish with that. B'meshech hazman, over the course of time, Rav, over the course of a long time, nitgaber esek ha-chachamim, the work of the chachamim, the work of the rabbis grew, al esek ha-nevim, over the Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im faded out. This, in the Second Temple period, we faded out of the big picture system. And Nevuah gradually went away. Archu ayamim, time went on. Aklalim hechelu lihitrofef, things began to break down a little bit. Niv'alu hapratim, v'loy yiru hachutza. Okay, the details became absorbed in the details and not the bigger picture. Al came, therefore, now look at what he says. This is unbelievable prophetic words for our days, which you'll see how it works now. Al came ba'achris hayamin, at the end of time, like as Mashiach is approaching. Shitzmichas mahalech shivat or hanavua, when Nevuah begins to come back. This all goes together for Rav Kook. A return to Eretz Yisrael. A return to the bigger picture. Tatchil lahovir, there'll be a return to this more of a Ruach HaKodesh idea. As sinat ha-pratim titkaver, then people will begin to hate the details. People will get upset by the details. People will say, we've lost the plot. We need to get big to the bigger picture. Okay? Ad asher loy kafri a kapri boiser, and it won't just be an unripe fruit, ki im ki bikurim lemeim, it'll be a ripe fruit, and he basically goes on to say that there'll be a return to this more holistic understanding, this more Yerushalmi understanding, this Eretz Yisrael understanding, as Mashiach approaches. Therefore, Rav Kook understands that the 20th century is not just a breakdown, a descent, if you like, into a negative system. But it's actually on a certain level a return to more. People have much more of a focus. Your generation is much more focused on bigger picture than your grandparents' generation. You see details as much less inspiring, I think, most people, than people used to. And also the whole world is global now. There's a global awareness, which is just never present before. Rav Kook says this is all part of a swing back to this big picture. Now, of course, it's not all or nothing. And some people are more into one, and some people are more into the other, etc. But getting this balance right between these two hemispheres, says Rav Kook, is what is understanding First Temple to Second Temple, Second Temple to Golas, Golas to Geula. And it's a big system. Yes, Hannah.
Down in the details anymore is because you don't have to be.
What do you mean?
I mean, because we're not worrying, because we live in comfortable...
No, we're still in details. For the Mishnah Berurah, it's very detailed.
I'm talking about what you're saying, like being osek in the world.
Right.
It's because we can care about the world instead of having to care about the
That's also part of it. That's also part of the idea of the returning to Gan Eden, as it were, gradually, because the clothes get reversed. There's a lot to say about that, including talking about feminism as well, which is a big part of that too, which is not for now. Okay, we'll leave that there. I hope, guys, this has given you some new understanding to the way that Judaism sees things, and we'll go on next time to something else. Okay?